Well, hello and welcome back to another installment of Verse by Verse Bible Teaching, a ministry that is brought to you by the Wash and Word Hand Car Washing Business in Churchill, Tennessee on Highway 11W. We're in the Palace Shopping Center, and there you can come and get your car washed. And the money we earn for working to do this, we keep this ministry supported, and we keep it going through the radio and the website and also right here in the parking lot. If you're in the area, flip your radio dial to FM 107.1, and you can hear these verse-by-verse Bible teachings playing on a loop. We're now offering them 24/7, so anytime you're in the area and you want to just get a word of God and a teaching of His Word and all of its fullness, you just come by and flip on the radio to 107.1, and you can hear these messages being played. You can also download and listen to these messages for free by visiting washandword.com. That's wash, the letter N, word.com. And these messages air live Monday through Friday at 8:30 a.m. on WMCH 1260 a.m. radio. We also invite you to go to Amazon and take a look at a book that I've just written. It's called The Tearing Down of America, and it's a play on words of the parable of Jesus with the wheat and tares. And it's it describes the condition of the church and how we got here and how what we can do to get out of it. And you can just go to the Amazon, I guess the Kindle page, and type in The Tearing Down of America, T-A-R-I-N-G. Or just type in my name. It's Matthew Mennona, M-E-N-N-O-N-A. And I encourage you to go and get this book and read it. And I think it'll bless you. So that being said, let's get back into our verse-by-verse Bible teaching. If you have any questions, you can give us a call at 423-920-0913. And we hope to see you over here at the Wash and Word. So getting back into our verse-by-verse teaching, we're in the book of Ecclesiastes, and we're going to wind down chapter 7 today. And the last thing we looked at was Solomon, as he, in his search and quest for peace, exploring the vastness of wisdom, he says that he turned his mind to understand. This is verse 25. To investigate and search out wisdom and the scheme of things, and to understand the stupidity of wickedness and the madness of folly. And what we surmise towards the end of our last teaching is that Solomon's pinnacle of wisdom, that is the smartest he ever was when he had the ability to grasp just how unwise he really was. You know, worldly wisdom is an ever-expanding well, and so is godly wisdom. And as much as that, the more we become worldly wise, it only leads to desiring more wisdom. And the more wisdom you get towards the world, the more fleshly wisdom we get, just the stupider we become. Because the more earthly wisdom we obtain, for every increment of earthly wisdom we obtain, we forfeit a increment of godly wisdom. And conversely, you know, the more godly wisdom we attain, we begin to flush out what we think was wisdom, that is what that the world gives. And so the pinnacle of your wisdom, friends, is to realize you're not that wise. The more you realize how unwise you are, the wiser you become. It's an interesting paradox, but you think about Paul's life, and he was very humble towards the end of his life, but in the beginning, well, he admitted himself to be a sinner, but by the time the end of his life and the end of his ministry got to him, he called himself the chief of sinners, the worst of people. And for Paul, he made several declarations of his sinfulness and his humility, and each one was a little bit harsher in how he viewed himself. In other words, as he progressed and matured in Christ, he realized he was not what he thought he was. And for every step we take towards Christ, we flush out the false security of the wisdom we have about ourselves and about this world. You know, teenagers walk around so misunderstood, muttering under their breath, "No one understands me." And, you know, I have children that are mid-20s, one's almost 30 years old, and I still don't understand them. In fact, no one understands you like you understand you. So let me slap some wisdom on you. A wise person understands that they do not understand. And just as Solomon was realizing that his wisdom was nothing but folly, so too is his understanding of the same. And if you think you understand yourself, let me take it another step further. No one understands you and no one knows you like God knows you. You see, we think we know what's best for us. We think we know our own hearts, but they're deceptive. See, God truly knows us. I remember one time I had, here's a good illustration. I had something in my eye, you know, and it was bothering me. It was in the corner of my eye. And so I went to the mirror to try to see what it was. But the object that was in my eye was on the side of my eye. And so in order to look into the mirror and see my eyes to see what was bothering me, I had to look straight ahead into the mirror. But because the item that was in my eye that was bothering me was on the side part of my eye, in order to see that piece of lint or whatever it was in my eye, I couldn't look straight on because it was hidden. So I had to turn my eyes to the left in order for that item, that piece of debris, to be visible. The problem was the moment I looked to the side to try to see the item, I could no longer see it because my eyes were no longer fixed on the mirror. And so no matter how much I tried, I couldn't get a good view of what was in my eye, lest it was in the center part. And so trying to understand self is a lot like this. The moment we gaze into self, the problem becomes hidden. And that is why it is such a blessing when God reveals you to you. If you are so fortunate enough that God would allow you to see yourself the way you truly are, the way God knows you, not the way you see yourself in the mirror, but to see yourself while you're looking off to the left. And God gives you a vision of that thing in your eye, so to speak. That's the truly blessed person. That's the one who takes a step in their spiritual growth. Verse 26 says, I find more bitter than death the woman who is a snare, whose heart is a trap, and whose hands are chains, than the man who pleases God will escape her. But the sinner, she will ensnare. So he says, I find more bitter than death is a woman who's a snare and a trap and her hands are chains than the man who pleases God who will escape her and the sinner will be ensnared by her. So this is good. Let's stay on this for a little while because Solomon's going to the wickedness of an entrapping woman. And you ask, what did Solomon know about women? Well, 700 wives and 300 concubines, I would say, makes you the premier representative of what it means to know what women are. And so I think it's funny that he had 1,000 wives and concubines together, and yet we still call him wise, huh? Move on from that one. But so why are women so readily used to ensnare men? And that's not my words. That's what Solomon just said. Why are they so often used by the devil to mislead and trap and snare? Again, it sounds like I'm going against women, but just bear with me for a second. Why are women so often used by the devil to mislead and to trap and to snare? Because, friends, women are the superior being. Didn't know I was going that way with it, did you? Women rock. They're awesome. Not biblical in the truest sense, of course. They have been given the God-given ability to cause the greatest of men throughout all of history to fall. If that doesn't define a superior being, I don't know what does. Some of the greatest, strongest, most powerful men in all of the world of all time have fallen and succumbed to the woman. Yes, you are superior, women. You were created with the ability to bring a grown man to his knees. You, women, are complex and pleasing to the eye and completely different in thought pattern by virtue of your creation. God has made you this way to attract us men that we may carry on the human race. And guys, next time you think you are a superior species, think about childbirth and then come talk to me. All that said, Satan is a fool, but he is a wise fool. And he knows the drawing power of a woman over a man. Just ask Adam. Some women deceive and draw men away innocently, like Bathsheba. She didn't realize what she was doing. Of course, bathing naked on a roof wasn't the best idea. But some do it innocently. Others, not so much, like Delilah and Jezebel, for instance. How to avoid them? Simple. Avoid them. Joseph did. Ran away from Potiphar's wife. Just avoid that temptation and that snare. Stay away from places and people that can ensnare you. But more important and directly related to that is Solomon's advice. Be a man of God. Men of God do not have to think about how to avoid the pitfalls of sexual immorality. They will naturally avoid them by their pursuit of God. Galatians 5:16 says, "So I say, live by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the sinful nature." So by following God, living by the Spirit, you will naturally avoid the pitfalls of those temptations. So what has Solomon discovered about all this? Well, warning, ladies, you might not like it. Look at verse 27 through 29. "Look," says the teacher, "this is what I have discovered. Adding one thing to another to discover the scheme of things. And while I was still searching but not finding, I found one upright man among 1,000, but not one upright woman among them all. This only have I found. God made mankind upright, but men have gone in search of many schemes. Who is like the wise man? Who knows the explanation of things? Wisdom brightens a man's face and changes its hard appearance." Well, I don't know why Solomon said that, to be honest with you. "I found one upright man among 1,000, but not one upright woman among them all." Not really sure, but don't worry, ladies. I personally don't agree with him. And neither do you guys, right? Guys, if you're listening, right, guys? You better agree with to not agree with Solomon here. Listen, Solomon's not a chauvinistic pig. Proverbs 8 shows true godly wisdom, and Proverbs 31 holds up a woman in high esteem who lives a life that's godly and pleasing. What he is saying is that because women are so pleasing to man, and believe me, he would know, i.e. 700 wives and 300 concubines, that he found it impossible to have a trustworthy, honest friendship with a woman without sexual attention eventually rearing up. Now, that said, this is just his opinion and one that is shared with, as he says, 999 men out of 1,000, but not everyone. So if you are a guy without sexual temptation or not prone to it, then this advice is not for you. But that's only one of you out of 1,000. Not all advice, however, is wise or fits all people for all circumstances. Solomon is simply saying he cannot find what he's looking for. This isn't a dig against women, but really a dig against himself. So in chapter 7 summary, there's a fourfold blessing of wisdom for the man or woman who lives godly and righteous. And number one is you will be unique. God has created you in a unique way. Number two, you will have knowledge. Not knowledge the world gives, but knowledge of God and that God gives. Your face will glow. This is a true thing. Have you ever, can you pick out a, sometimes you can just pick out a true follower of Jesus among the crowd based on their countenance. And fourthly, an alien will burst out of your stomach. Now, how did I get that last one? Well, you will change from the inside out. The godly man or woman will change from the inside out. There is something alien inside of you, Christian, and that is the Spirit of God. And it is coming out, and it is not natural. It is foreign, alien, but by the grace of God, it will change you from the inside out. Amazing grace. This tells a story, and that story is that God has saved a wretch like us. So continue to push on forward, Christians. We invite you to come by The Wash and Word. Let us know you're hearing these messages. That would encourage us. Again, you can go to Amazon and buy my book, The Tearing Down of America. That's spelled T-A-R-I-N-G. And Again, go to washandword.com if you have any questions. Have a blessed day.